Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey now, Semper Fi, good afternoon. Welcome into the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. It is LSU game day at 6 p.m. taking on the South Carolina Gamecocks. Right here on the home of the Tigers, WWL, along with former LSU quarterback Herb Tyler. I'm Christian Garrick. Our mortgage financial talk and text lines are open at 504-260-1870. I got to tell you, I'm in a great mood. Obviously, it's LSU game day. They've been off for 2 weeks because of the pandemic. Couldn't play against Florida. Had an ugly, inexplicable loss to Missouri the week prior. But a pump for them to get back on the field. No Miles Brennan this week. TJ Finley is going to be the quarterback, a true freshman out of Ponchatoula. We'll dive into that in a little bit. But I was really, I guess, excited. And some people are going to yell and scream at me on the text line. Whatever. I don't care. But I was excited at the idea that as I'm driving into work and I'm driving through the CBD, I made two passes right around downtown just to see how vibrant, with the new, you know, relaxed openings that is now going on in New Orleans, there are people that are practicing social distancing, but still participating in these local restaurants and businesses that are in dire need of their customers and their patrons coming in there. So what I'm saying is that I'm seeing a little life in the city for the first time since March, and it made me feel really, really good. And I understand the pandemic's real. I get all that. But just to see the city have a little life in it was really, really exciting for me. Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback. I know that, you know, we have a real pandemic on our hands, but I was just moved by that, just to see a little bit of life. It was very encouraging.
Well, look, man, it's always good to see life happening, right? At the end of the day, you want to be able to enjoy what God's given us and to be able to be fruitful with it. And to be able to take care of it as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you still have to be safe. Like you said, there's still a pandemic going on. But if you're practicing all of the CDC guidelines, you know, and all the top infectious diseases doctors, I guess their orders, if you will, wearing masks, social distancing, washing your hands, not touching your face, all these different things can actually help. And that's what's actually been creating the soft openings, as you will. You know, it's crazy, but as we look at this thing, man, throughout the country, we're seeing spikes in all of the states that are not doing those things. But here in Louisiana, you know, since we've been as extra careful as we have been, we're holding steady and getting better. So that's good. That's good to see. And I'm with you, man. I'm with the small businesses having an opportunity to be open and to take care of patrons and to ensure that they can thrive and make some money and be able to pay their workers and all of that stuff. Because what happens is that money recycles back into the community, and that's a great thing for us. So I'm happy to kind of see the soft opening as well.
Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm blessed, man. Just trying to stay COVID-free and enjoying a beautiful day today, man. It's a great day for football. I'm here in Baton Rouge, and I think it's going to be a wonderful night tonight. It won't be football weather, but it's going to be fun. We'll see. We'll see.
TJ Finley getting the start. Miles Brennan banged up. I don't know if you saw him in high school. I saw TJ Finley at Ponchatoula. First, let me just say this. This is a grown man as a true freshman. Yeah. This is a grown man. It's a big, big boy. 6'6", 6'7", 240. The ball comes out of his hand kind of effortlessly. And I think, Herb, we're going to see both quarterbacks, but TJ Finley is going to get the start. What have you seen from him? What do you know about him that you can relay to the listener?
Well, you know, first and foremost, he's an imposing figure, right? When you just see him, when he gets off the bus, like you said, he's a big guy. He's got a big, strong arm. He can see the field just as good as anybody else, and his height actually helps him. And he's been that tall for quite some time, which is good. It's not like he just spurted up over the last year and a half or so. He's been, as long as I can remember, he's been 6'4", 6'5", since 10th grade, 9th grade. And I've been watching him a lot when he was coming up through Ponchatoula, because Coach Hank Tarrany is a good friend of mine, and he was telling me all about him. And, look, his time has come. I think Coach O and the staff has really done a great job of evaluating these guys, TJ and Max, since they came in the spring. And that's something that's really going to be fun to see. See these guys actually get a chance and opportunity to be able to play today. And, you know, the biggest thing that they have to do is not try to do too much. They just got to get out there. Whoever starts, whoever plays, whatever, I know TJ's going to start, but don't try to overdo it. And just remember that it's just football, right? It's just football. The only thing changes is the speed of the game, and you got you know, 11 guys on each side of the field that are going to be the best that you've seen. You know, when you were the best player on the high school team, there's going to be 11 of them on the field or 22 on the field at one time. So that's the biggest thing for me, is that he just stays calm and just understands the game and just really, really play within himself, and then let the playmakers make the plays.
Herb, for TJ Finley, we'll get to the defense later on. We got plenty of time. I would imagine the game plan is going to be early on, hey, get the running game going, but also give him some high percentage completion plays, right? Some short passes to get his confidence up, get his completion percentage high, so he can kind of gradually get down the field later on in the game.
Well, I mean, you know, that's always the cliche to say and to do. But the biggest thing is the difference. What's different about this team, I think, is this offense. This offense, it naturally has those types of plays in the system. And then I think he can make every throw that there is. The toughest throw for him is going to be the touch pass, a nice soft floater with a guy that's dragging across the field, that's a catchable ball and that's not coming 100 miles an hour. Yes, get him started with some short passes, but also allow him to run the offense. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the biggest thing is to build confidence is not just to throw a short pass, but throw a short pass that's within the natural scheme of the offense, not go out of our way to make things different. Let's not go too pedestrian with our offense because we have a freshman quarterback. Let's see what he can do. I mean, where are we right now? We're 1-2, right? Nobody expects us to do anything for the remainder of the season when you listen to all these national publications and all of these guys that are talking certain things. But at the end of the day, we have a very talented team that can play with anybody. It's just a matter of fact when that light's going to click, not only defensively, but for this young one of these two young quarterbacks that's going to play today. So I agree with you. I think it needs to be short passes, something that's going to really gain some confidence for him, but it needs to be within the natural confines of the offense.
For those that don't know much about TJ Finley, let me just remind you of something. Hank Tierney has been a triple option guy nearly his entire coaching life.
Triple option. And changed.
Yeah, and he changed it when TJ Finley showed up on campus. He changed his entire offense. It shows you, A, just how talented TJ Finley is with his arm.
Yeah, man, look, the kid threw for a total of 7,200 yards in high school. I mean, it's crazy. He had 432 completions out of 851 passing attempts. It's just the guy is just he's a natural quarterback that just makes really good decisions, which is why Hank Tierney believed in him so much to be able to change his whole offensive scheme as a high school coach. And I think it's a testament to him. I mean, the kid threw 57 touchdowns throughout his career, 22 interceptions. His long was 95 yards. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, the kid's got a cannon of an arm. And the other thing, too, that Hank Tierney has always said about him is the fact that the kid is a leader. And he's been there. He's been a starter since his sophomore year. So you got to know that he's a leader to be able to lead a group of guys to be successful in the football game. So it's going to be really fun to watch and see exactly how it translates from high school to the SEC and Major Division I football. But I really think he's going to do a decent job today. I really do.
Herb Tyler, Christian Garrick, we are just getting started here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Jeff Palermo is next. This is WWL. Back here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, along with former LSU quarterback Herb Tyler, number 14. I'm Christian Garrick. We welcome in now Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist. Jeff, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Good, thank you.
I'm good.
It's T.J. Finley today getting the start as a true freshman for a banged-up Miles Brennan. LSU taking on South Carolina, who all of a sudden have ripped off two straight wins. It looked like Will Muschamp was going to be the first coach fired this year, and here they are surging a little bit.
Yeah, they are, and they probably feel like this is a good opportunity to come into Tiger Stadium and get a win. I mean, LSU's doing a lot of soul-searching, obviously starting a freshman quarterback. You don't really know what's going on with LSU's defense right now. It's been really a mess outside, obviously, of the Vanderbilt game. But the two losses was about as bad as LSU can play on defense. And South Carolina has to be feeling good. I mean, they beat an Auburn team who I don't think is probably as good as maybe we thought heading into the season. But that's still a nice win for Coach Will Muschamp. And I think South Carolina really feels like they got a chance to come into a 25% filled Tiger Stadium and leave with a victory.
Jeff, you've seen a lot of high school football, in particular with T.J. Finley. Just your thoughts on him as a player, and how much success do you think he'll have today?
Well, I mean, he was a guy that can certainly sling the football around. I mean, he's got a strong arm. The ball comes out of his hand well. He wasn't very mobile. If you got some pressure on him, guys were able to get to him. Now, he's lost some weight. He's probably lost about 20 pounds since the spring. I think it helped that he was actually – not only was he with the team in the springtime, but he was with the team during December because he graduated early from Ponchatoula. So he's been able to be around the team quite a bit. But still, I think it's just very difficult for a true freshman quarterback to start in the SEC. So I know a lot of people make the comparisons to Jamarcus Russell, you know, based on the last time, you know, that I've seen TJ play. I'd almost throw maybe more of a Zach Mettenberger comparison to it, and just that it's a big guy who can sling the football, but not the most mobile guy. But let's see. He's lost some weight, probably added a little bit more of agility. We'll see if he's got a little bit more mobility back there and can make some things happen.
Jeff, if I'd have told you 4 weeks into the season that LSU would be ranked lower in total defense than Vanderbilt, what would you have told me?
Boy, what happened? And you know, I mean, it's bad. And I don't. This is a tough game coming up here today to figure out what you're actually going to see. You don't know what you're going to get with T.J. Finley. You don't know what you're going to get with this defense. You know, Ed Orgeron talked about it during the offseason about how this defense was going to be simpler than what they had with Dave Aranda, and guys were going to be more aggressive. Well, now they're asking them to simplify it even more. I mean, it was supposed to be simpler than it was a season ago. And the last time that Ed Orgeron told his coordinator to simplify something, it was Matt Canada, and that didn't get any better. So I don't, I we'll see. I mean, there's no doubt that LSU's got talent on defense. There's no doubt that LSU's got talent on offense, but for some reason, it's just not clicking. Now, this is a little bit better of a matchup for LSU defensively. There's a reason why a lot of defenses play, you know, three-man fronts nowadays. It's because of all the spread offenses. LSU went back to a four-man front under Bo Pelini. Well, you're not facing necessarily a spread offense today. It's more of a pro-style offense. So maybe the 4-3 defense that Bo Pelini is going to put on the field tonight will have more success than what we saw when LSU lost to Mississippi State in Missouri.
Jeff, I want you to jump in here as well, Herb. I'm looking at the overall defensive ranking standings, overall total defense, and I'm even seeing Alabama at 63. So my question now becomes, and I think Nick Saban said this earlier in the week, that it's shifted, it's changed. You're winning now with offense than more than defense. Do you guys think we're seeing that shift?
I think you're winning more with a dynamic quarterback, that's for sure. I think, and that's what it's always been. I mean, I'm watching them at the Auburn-Ole Miss game, and both teams are kind of going up and down the field 21-21. There's not much defense. And, you know, teams in the SEC or Power 5 schools really can't – you know, the time that they can really kind of boost up their rankings is when they get the opportunity to play, you know, the Middle Tennessees of the world and the North Texases of the world, and they can really have a really good defensive game, and that can – that can help them. But now you're going up against, especially, you know, Alabama, you just mentioned them as far as their total defense is 67. Well, you're now facing really good offenses every week. So, and you can't play Vanderbilt every week in the SEC. So you're going to be giving up some yards. You're going to be giving up some points in this league because you just don't have the opportunity to kind of boost your statistics, if you would, playing a group of five school.
Herb?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, you look at the game from last week with South Carolina and Auburn. I mean, that was, Bo Nix did not play well in that game, but Auburn was still in the game. So with that being said, what do you think about Colin Hill coming in here? He was 15 of 24 for 144 yards, one touchdown, one intercept. Hopefully we don't see something that we saw against Mississippi State in Missouri where we let some newer named guys just come in and just kind of do whatever they want to on defense. So do you think this is a week that we can kind of get back on track, if you will, or get on track as a defensive squad for LSU? We had 2 weeks off, but we didn't have 2 weeks to prepare for South Carolina. Because as you remember, we prepared for Florida the week before. It was late in the week when they decided to cancel the game due to COVID reasons. But with a week and a couple, 3 days or so to prepare for South Carolina, do you think this defense – will be much better than we were a couple weeks ago?
I think it's going to be better. And I think, not only does it give it an opportunity to rest a little bit, but get a guy like Neil Farrell a little bit more in shape. Get Glenn Logan, who missed the first two games, get him a little bit more in the rhythm. Now he's got at least a game under his belt. Maybe he'll feel a little bit more comfortable out there. I think just because of the matchup in this game, I think LSU will look better. I mean, if they were coming in here today and playing, I don't know, if they were coming in today and playing Alabama or heck, even Ole Miss, a team that's going to spread it out and do a lot of different things from you, I don't know if we would see a better defense. But I think this matches up a little bit better for LSU. Now, if they're not, when South Carolina runs the ball, and their ball carrier is going down the field 5 yards without getting hit, it's going to be a long day. And we saw a lot of that in the Missouri game. Missouri had its way when it wanted to run the football. Now, maybe it makes a difference. One thing that I'm really interested to see, we've heard about personnel changes. So how is this defense going to look a little bit different personnel-wise? Are you going to see certain guys playing in a different position or guys that you really haven't seen the first 3 weeks of the season? Will you see more of them today? I think that might be something that, and who knows, that might be once they find the right combination of guys out there. And I think the other thing that maybe you might see a little bit more of, or I guess probably less of, is not so much of the personnel changes, guys coming in, shuffling out, you know, find your 11 to 13, 14 guys that you want to go with and just leave them out on the field. And again, you're going up against an offense that's not going to go from, you know, four wides then down to a, you know, two back. They'll shift up the formations. There's no doubt about that. But again, they're not going to be spreading you out where you're going to have to go to different personnel all the time. So that might help out LSU as well.
Who would have thought that Tulane would have would be ranked higher in total defense ahead of LSU and ahead of Alabama? I mean, it's crazy.
It's a different world in the college football nowadays.
I mean,
you literally got to win. You got to score 35, 40 points to win. I mean, that's kind of your goal every day now.
It's turned into arena football. It really is.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways. Jeff, how do you see this matchup shaking out?
Well, as I said earlier, guys, it's just so hard to judge. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get with the freshman QBs. You don't know what you're going to get out of this LSU defense. I think it's going to be better. To be honest with you, I don't know how worse it can really get for LSU, right? They gave up 600 yards in passing offense the last time they played State, and then a winless Missouri team just absolutely embarrassed them a couple weeks ago. So it can't get any worse. So it's going to get better. I mean, can this offense, can they get the ground game going? Can they get Chris Curry going? Can they get John Emery going? Can they do something to kind of take the pressure off, maybe have a little bit more of a the problem is nobody can guard Terrace Marshall. So you throw him the football, boom, he scores from 60 yards out. You put your defense back on the field, and you can't get your running game going. So, I agree with Coach O. You can't really put a lot of the blame on the offense and the fact that they're not running the ball. But I think they would like to grind out a few more drives here tonight, win the time of possession battle, keep their defense off the field, see if their defense can force some turnovers. I mean, that's been kind of a saving grace for them in both the Missouri and Mississippi State losses. They've been able to force some turnovers, see if they can keep that magic going and come away with the victory. But it could be a high-scoring affair. I said, winning, scoring 35 points, it might be that kind of a game. They might win this game like 35-28, something like that, if, T.J. Finley and Max Johnson play good and don't, turn it over four or five times tonight.
Right. Jeff Palermo, WBL.com columnist. Herb, you got anything else for Jeff?
No, sir.
Jeff, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. You have a good one.
All right. Herb, I want to go back. I want to pick your brain on this. I want to go back to the Missouri loss. Yep. And you got three opportunities from inside the one-yard line, not one quarterback sneak. Why?
I don't know. I don't know if they don't feel comfortable with Miles running the quarterback sneak. Not quite sure what that's about, but I do think that it came down to that particular possession, which I think it was two runs with Tyron Davis Price, and then a little short pass to the left that was batted down, and then the out route to Terrence Marshall that was batted down by the defensive back who made a great play. Now, I'll go through that whole series with you. The first two plays, the two running plays to Tyron Davis Price were the exact same play. Missouri was waiting on that. Now, that other little play was open if Miles could get the ball over the defender's hand, then you may have an opportunity to run the ball into the end zone. Now, the fourth play, the ball came out of Miles' hands just a tad bit too late. Had he thrown it a fraction of a second earlier and hit Terrence on the break, it would have been a touchdown. I'll say that. Now, with that being said, we also, at the end of the day, we gave up 406 yards passing to Missouri. We also gave up 200 yards rushing as well. So with that being said, we only had 63 yards rushing, and we attempted to rush 20 times. There's no way we should ever attempt only 20 rushes in the game. Now, we threw 48 pass attempts. So
too many.
It did not actually come down to that particular series or that series at the end of the game, but it did. I think that we had four rushes in the first half. There's no way we should do that, especially coming off a game that John Emery had the week before where I think he rushed for 120 yards or so, something like that. So I think we didn't put ourselves in the best situation offensively when it comes to being balanced. Now, Miles had a great game, 29 of 48 for 430 yards, four touchdowns, And what I've always looked at for him is no interceptions. It was great. But also, we didn't give him any help in the run game. So I don't know why they didn't call in the quarterback sneaks. Now, the other thing, too, let's think about this. Now, you know who else was having a great game, but he did get kind of injured, was Eric Gilbert. If we could have gotten him the ball in that last series or put him in the game and throw the ball up to him and see what happens, no one could cover that kid. So I think that would have been another good play. So instead of one of the run plays, maybe put Eric Gilbert in the game and throw it up, and maybe he can jump over a defender and catch the ball.
Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback. I'm Christian Garrick, coming back after the break. College football scoreboard. Still plenty to talk about. We're even going to talk about some NFL news because it's worthy, and it's right here in New Orleans and certainly in the NFC South. So we'll get to some of that as well. If you want to jump in our conversation, 504-260-1870. Call us on our mortgage, financial, talk, and text lines. This is the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show here on WWL. Catching you up on other games in college football. Number one, Clemson taking care of business against Syracuse. Into the third quarter, Clemson leads Cuse 34-21. In the fourth quarter, Nebraska trailing number 5 Ohio State 38-17. Number 23 NC State has the football, but they're down big on the road to number 14 North Carolina 38-13. They just scored a touchdown pending the extra point, should be 38-14. Kansas getting crushed by Kansas State.
Yep.
Number 20 Kansas State 55-7. The Mad Hatter.
Well, is he coaching from the sideline today?
I believe so. I know he had COVID like last week, week and a half, but yeah, I think he's I think he's on the sideline.
Georgia, well, he did take a major blow. I think Puka Williams decided to forego the remaining in the season, huh?
Yep, he did. He did. Yeah. Number 25, Coastal Carolina and Georgia Southern in the fourth quarter, tied at 14. Do you know the mascot? Who Coastal Carolina is who, Herb? It's the what's their mascot?
The wedding waves. I have no idea.
The Chanticleers.
The Chanticleers.
It's a rooster. It's a rooster.
It's a rooster. Okay, yeah. So it's like a gamecock, but it's a called a Chanticleer.
Yeah, it's a specific breed of a rooster.
Gotcha.
They're up now 20-14 over Georgia Southern. Florida Atlantic and Marshall just getting underway. They are scoreless. Number 22 Marshall at home against Florida Atlantic. And Herb, I know this is LSU territory, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, but some pretty happening news going on in the NFL right now, in particular right here in our own backyard and in the NFC South. Antonio Brown is back in the NFL, and he's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My goodness.
That's a hard one. That's a swallow, man. I'm going to tell you.
Why is that?
I mean, we had our arms wrapped around him last year. I said this, and I think you and I talked about this last year. We should have took that chance on him last year and signed him to something and then waited to see what happened. But I understand that, you know, you don't foresee things in the future. But guess what, man? This gives Tom Brady another weapon that he can entrust that's really going to have I think he's gonna want to go out and show everybody what he can do because he, you know how he is, first and foremost. He's one of the most skilled receivers in the NFL, period. And then, you know, he holds vendettas against people. So I think he's going to come out firing on all cylinders.
Bigger news here in New Orleans. Emmanuel Sanders placed on COVID-19 protocol list. He tested positive, was symptomatic. So the Saints already were without one receiver. Now they lose Emmanuel Sanders. Mike Thomas not playing this Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. But the bigger news out of Pro Football Talk is this is from Mike Florio, saying that the Saints might be willing to listen to offers for Mike Thomas ahead of the trade deadline. Keep in mind, he just signed a massive contract last year. He would still count $20 million towards next year's salary cap. And $12.6 million salary would come off the books for this year. Both basically a net cap hit of $7.4 million combined with the $22.65 million owed to Drew Brees if he retires. The Saints could be in some trouble next year with the cap, but nonetheless, and the cap going down. But I'm really, really intrigued that if this report is true from Mike Florio, that the Saints are willing to look at options of trading Mike Thomas, that tells you a lot of things that haven't been made public yet, that supposed fight he had might have been a little bit worse.
Yeah, so I heard that probably 5 or 6 days ago, and I didn't think it would be true because, like, I'm like you. There's got to be something that's going on that has not been made public yet because, Kristen, you know this. You go to practices all the time. Guys fight all the time. They whether it's an offensive and defensive lineman or receiver in a cornerback or safety or something or running back and a linebacker, they all fight. Every day there's a fight. Pretty much some sort of something.
Or a shoving match.
Or something, you know what I'm saying? So what exactly transpired for them to suspend him when he should have been playing, right, last week, and then now all of a sudden this mysterious hamstring that come up? I don't know. This almost seems a little bit deeper than what they're saying. It's got to be, especially with this report from Mike Florio.
Yeah, we'll wait and see on that. The trade deadline is a little more than 10 days away.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's say they do put him on the trade block and somebody comes up. What do you think is a fair offer for him?
You got to get a number one pick for him. He's the best receiver in football.
Right. But not only would you also ask for some sort of a player that's on the
line? I guess you could, yeah. But, I mean, ideally you want a number one pick, maybe even a third. If you can get a 1 and a 3 or a 1 and a 4, you take that.
Yeah.
Especially if it's one of these, you know, teams that thinks that they're on the fringe of a playoff berth and you know, Mike Thomas might put them over the top, then, you know, if they're a fringe team, they may or may not make the playoffs. That means they could end up 8-8, 9-7, so you might be picking around 15 or 16. It might be a 15th or 16th overall selection. We got to get there, though. We got to see how much this might play out the hamstring injury to me, I'm sure it's, I guess, real, but it just popped up out of nowhere. All of a sudden, he's got a hamstring along with an ankle injury.
And the hamstring came up midweek, too, as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which I can see it happening, don't get me wrong, but it came up right as they were saying he wasn't going to, you know, whatever, because they're still showing it as an ankle injury / hamstring. Which one is it? I don't know.
Good question. Good question. Herb Tyler, Christian Garrick, this is the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show here on WWL. Herb, you're going to love this one. A tweet from BR Gridiron. Some NFL insiders believe the Saints could be willing to discuss trade offers for Michael Thomas per at Pro Football Talk. Sean Payton tweeting moments ago. Insiders on the outside where they belong.
I guess we're on the outside, but we're trying to get on the inside, right?
Well, we haven't reported anything. We're just talking about the reports.
So, exactly.
So I guess that shows you they're not trading. I don't guess. That does show you they're not trading Mike Thomas.
Well, here's the thing. The thing about that whole deal is, first of all, you give him a tremendous amount of money last year, right? And he was, out of all accounts, and you know this just as well as anybody, he was the most model Saint there was, right? At some point, you never heard anything negative about him until 2 weeks ago. So I don't know what the situation is. Now, sometimes there is a little bit of truth in something. So maybe it was a thought, maybe, or maybe it was some sort of a inclination, if you will. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, and Sean maybe just trying to make sure he gets people's mind out of that. You know what I mean? Now, at the end of the day, I don't want Michael Thomas to go anywhere, first and foremost. I think him and Emmanuel Sanders on the field at one time, which we haven't seen really truly yet since game one, I think it would be a force to be reckoned with, which would have been nice to also have, you know, Antonio Brown also, but that ship has sailed. But we've got some new players that are playing very, very well, receivers that are coming on that are young guys that we've got, you know, mid rounds or even, you know, picked up in the free agency or whatnot, that I think can actually step up to the plate and play very, very well for us. But if Sean can dispute this and make sure Mike stays, I will be one of the happiest guys in the world.
I don't think he's going anywhere, just judging by what Sean Payton, the head coach, tweeted. Insiders on the outside where they belong, based on that report of trading Mike Thomas. That is vintage right. Sean Payton. In a very, very terse, short, and to the point way of clearing things up. Coming up next hour, Jimmy Smith of TigerDetails.com. Herb Tyler, Christian Garrick, we are just getting started here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Call us on our mortgage financial talk and text lines at 504-260-1870. If you've seen TJ Finley play at Ponchatoula, give us your own scouting report. Yeah. What'd you think of him? 504-260-1870. The freshman, a true freshman, will get the start at quarterback under center as Miles Brennan is a little banged up. Herb and Christian just getting started here on WWL.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.